What a win for Tennessee. Tennessee takes down Clemson and the Capital One Orange Bowl 31-14. Tennessee handled Clemson. Shorthanded Volunteers. I mean, again, what a win. First 11-win season since 2001. Recapping all of that and a whole lot more here on your Monday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome into it. This is your Monday edition of Locked On Vols, and not only is this your Monday edition, this is your first edition of Locked On Vols 2023. So happy new year to you and yours. Hope you guys had a safe and enjoyable weekend. And it started out all with a bang with Tennessee winning on Friday night, late Friday night, 31-14 over Clemson in the Capital One Orange Bowl. Today's episode is brought to you in part by LinkedIn Jobs. Helps you find qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster and for free. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Tennessee 31, Clemson 14. Good win for Tennessee. We're going to break it down from every single angle here on this day. We're going to hear from the scoring plays, courtesy of the Vol Radio Network. That'll come up in about 10 minutes in segment number two. And then I'll give you my Caner stats and grades here to end the show. But a really, really good win for Tennessee. Vols made a statement, right? I mean, Tennessee made a statement. Real quick, while it's on my mind, Twitter Tuesday, mailbag. A lot of you guys have already sent me in some questions. That's coming up on tomorrow's show at _Caner and at Locked On Vols. This was a statement win for Tennessee. You know, Clemson's been to the New York Six plenty of times. They've been in the college football playoffs plenty of times. They're second to Alabama in terms of college football playoff appearances and wins so far during this college football playoff era. I mean, Clemson's been there, done that. Tennessee's kind of new to the party to this New Year's Six. And, of course, you know, we've talked a lot and we'll continue to talk a lot about how Tennessee could have been in the college football playoff, but it was in the Orange Bowl. And so it was new to the party. And I think for, you know, I think for an average college football fan, viewer, I mean, everybody knows about Tennessee. Everybody knows the Power T. Probably knows about the history of Tennessee, but a lot of this new generation, these young guys, I mean, you know, guys who are just a couple years younger than me, to be completely honest, guys and gals, might have been the first time they've ever seen Tennessee play on the big show, the big stage. It was ESPN, 8 o'clock, December the 30th. Of course, because New Year's Day falls on a Saturday this year, it was, or Sunday this year, it was a little bit different because it was played on December the 30th, but I mean, Tennessee performed well. Sure, Hendon Hooker did not play. Cedric Tillman didn't play. Jalen Hyatt didn't play. Jeremy Banks didn't play. Of course, some of those guys injured. Some of those guys opt-outs for various reasons. Trayvon Flowers was injured, didn't play. Brandon Turnage was injured. He didn't play. I'm not going to pretend like Clemson was a full strength either. Now, they did make the quarterback change. And that's why DJ, whatever his name, left and transferred. But they didn't have Miles Murphy, a defensive end. He's going to be a top 10 pick in this upcoming NFL draft. He didn't play. Linebacker Trenton Simpson didn't play in this football game, but that is an NFL-quality front seven for Clemson. I mean, Tennessee did well. I mean, there's several guys who will be playing on Sundays in that front seven for Clemson, and Tennessee didn't bat an eye. Sure, it didn't, you know, accumulate as many points and or as many yards as it typically does, but, I mean, finishing the day with 31 points on 375 yards of total offense, averaging 5.7 yards per play, that ain't bad. It was business as usual for Tennessee's offense, led by Orange Bowl MVP Joe Milton, who was fantastic. If this is the Joe Milton that Tennessee gets in 2023, the Volunteers are going to be just fine. He will never be Hendon Hooker. He's going to be Joe Milton. Joe Milton is a different guy. I don't think Joe Milton will ever be a Heisman contender. I don't think Joe Milton will ever finish fifth in the Heisman voting. No, that's Hendon Hooker. But Joe Milton can be very good just being Joe Milton, and Tennessee can win a whole lot of games if Joe Milton plays the way he did on Friday night. Didn't turn the football over whatsoever, threw three touchdowns. We'll continue to get into that as the show goes on, but man, Joe was good. And I'm not sitting here saying that Tennessee's offense was perfect. It was far from it. You look at that drive chart for Tennessee, and it was punt, touchdown, punt, punt, touchdown, punt, punt, and then half. And then starting the second half, it was punt, punt, touchdown, touchdown, punt, field goal. A lot of punts in there. So again, it wasn't as clean. It wasn't as crisp or as perfect as it usually is. But touchdown, 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 field goal, no turnovers. Tennessee's offense was business as usual. And I mean, it looked good. It really did against a challenging Clemson defense, who again, were missing a couple of players. But still, Tennessee was able to do what Tennessee wanted to do. So if you get that type of Joe Milton, Tennessee's going to be fine. Aaron Beasley defensively. My goodness. I mean, Aaron Beasley's had a good year. I mean, you guys have heard me praise Aaron Beasley, you know, continuously throughout the season. First 2 weeks of the season when Juwan Mitchell was not available, Aaron Beasley played and he shined and he looked really, really good. He was a part of that three-man linebacker rotation with Juwan Mitchell, Jeremy Banks, and then, of course, it was Aaron Beasley. He's had a good year. Led Tennessee in tackles, was second on the team in TFLs, was up there in terms of sacks. Aaron Beasley had a good year. Aaron Beasley played out of his freaking mind in the Orange Bowl. I mean, good for him. You look at the stats for Aaron Beasley in this football game. Led all defenders, Clemson and Tennessee, with 12 total stops. He had two sacks on blitzes where he timed up beautifully. He was patient. He allowed the block to happen in front of him with the offensive line, and then he went in there and crept over around the center. He had four TFLs. He had a couple quarterback hits. He had a pass breakup. He had another pass breakup where they called for pass interference, which I thought was bogus. Again, I'm a defensive-minded guy here. Aaron Beasley played phenomenal in this football game. Tennessee has got a player in Aaron Beasley who will be returning for a super senior season. What a game from Aaron Beasley. And not only Aaron Beasley, Solon Page as well. I mean, we'll hit on this more in the show, but Solon Page, who got the start for Juwan Mitchell, finished with 10 tackles. That's a career high. And the way those two guys were playing, you know, when Juwan Mitchell eventually got in the game late in the first half, it's kind of like, what are you doing? They went back to that three-man rotation, which is smart, which is good to keep everybody fresh. But the way Solon Page and Aaron Beasley were playing, it's like, don't bring anybody else in here. Keep those guys out there. What was up with Juwan Mitchell? It sounds to me like, though nothing has been said on the record or anything, it sounds to me like there was some type of internal suspension, if you will. But it was kind of weird because, again, he came in with a couple minutes left in the second quarter. So it wasn't a half suspension. It was obviously more than a quarter suspension. Maybe it was a quarter suspension and those guys were playing well and they just kept him in there and then they brought in Juwan Mitchell. I don't know, but it was kind of weird. There was no Juwan Mitchell. He, you know, still played 48 snaps in this game because Clemson played 101 snaps offensively. But he was absent for the first, you know, 20 minutes or so of this football game, 24 minutes of this football game. He did flash on that 4th-and-2 stop with Aaron Beasley, stopping Will Shipley whenever the game was kind of close. But so far, I mean, in this game, Juwan Mitchell wasn't really much of a factor, and I think you credit Aaron Beasley and Solon Page just for that. So the defense, ultimate bend but not break. The defense has improved in 2022. It rhymes. Though I know a lot of people, myself included, it doesn't feel like that. Just go look at the stats. Statistically, the defense has improved. There's been individual growth within players. I do like how Tim Banks calls the defense. I mean, we can nitpick, and again, that'll be over the offseason. Sometimes he's so married to a scheme that he doesn't change up in mid-game, which frustrates me. But his game plan, attacking Kate Klubnik, what did I say on Friday? Young quarterback, ultimate wild card. What's he look like when there's a hand in his face? Tennessee's front four got after Kate Klubnik. Aaron Beasley got after him on the blitzes. Aaron Beasley popped Cade Klubnik one time when a ball sailed out of bounds and decked him to the ground, and I truly feel like that hit stuck with the freshman the rest of the way. Tennessee's defense was the ultimate bend but not break. Incredible stat. Of the all seven first-half possessions for Clemson in the first half ended on Tennessee's side of the field. They got one field goal out of it. Sure, there were some missed field goals. Dabo dialed up a stupid fake field goal there on the opening drive. That failed. But keep in mind, all seven of Clemson's first half possessions ended on Tennessee's side of the field. In total, 11 of Clemson's possessions in this football game ended on Tennessee's side of the field. Bend all you want. Don't break. Four sixes for threes, and you know Clemson helped Tennessee out there by missing three straight field goals in the first half. If you get that type of defensive performance, that type of NFL defensive performance where you bend but not break, you take that 365. You take that 10 out of 10 every single time. This was a good win for Tennessee. I truly do believe that. What a statement win for Tennessee. And in my opinion, the Vols aren't going anywhere in 2023. You're losing a lot. We'll have all offseason to discuss it. You're losing a lot. But that's the nature of college football. How you develop players to come in and take those spots. Tennessee got some good individual development this year. Aaron Beasley's just one example. Tennessee got some good individual development. Joe Milton's not going to be as good as he was in the Orange Bowl where he took home MVP honors. But if Joe Milton plays that style of brand of football and they call intermediate to short passing for him and then he connects and doesn't overthrow on some deep balls, Deep balls total, I think he was 3 of 4, 20 yards down the field. Not bad. Tennessee will win a lot of games in 2023 if you get that type of performance. So we'll have all offseason to discuss what their record's going to be, game by game, all that type of stuff. But Tennessee 31, Clemson 14 in a game where Tennessee made a statement. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think I threw out a pick on the show last week, but I thought Tennessee was going to lose this game, and I know I'm not alone. I thought not having Hooker and Hyatt there was going to be big, and Banks. I thought those were going to be big losses for Tennessee. I truly did, and they were, but Tennessee overcame that. What a win for Tennessee. First 11-win season since 2001. Tennessee is your Capital One Orange Bowl champions, if you will, 31-14 over Clemson. And that was a whole lot of fun. We're going to hear from the Vol Radio Network some scoring plays when we return. That's right here on Locked on Vols. But first, I want to remind you guys about LinkedIn Jobs, a proud sponsor of this show. A small business owner looking to hire a manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have those skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs and targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from job posts, a company, and their 875 million member profiles to post your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on job qualifications and platforms. This is why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus its leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. You can post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Welcome back into your Monday edition of Locked on Vols, your first of 2023. Happy New Year, everybody. And don't forget, Twitter Tuesday is coming up on the show, your mailbag edition of the show. Hit me up on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked on Vols. It's where your voice is heard every single Tuesday right here on Locked on Vols. So let's take a look at the scoring plays for the University of Tennessee in this 31-14 win over Clemson. This audio that you're about to hear via whatever your listening platform is, and of course on YouTube, it is courtesy. I have written permission from the Vol Radio Network to play this, and so let's go ahead and get on into it. Tennessee led 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, and this touchdown came on a 16-yard pass from Joe Milton. I about said Hendon Hooker, just, you know, nature. From Joe Milton to Brew McCoy, capped a 75-yard, 12-play drive, a scoring drive of 4 minutes and 1 second. Tennessee took a 7-0 lead in the first quarter at the 5:17 mark. Give this a listen.
Joe Milton has two wideouts on either side as they scrimmage deep in Clemson territory. Milton guns one for the end.
Bam! Touchdown, Tennessee! A post pattern to Brew McCoy. What a rifle from Joe Milton. And McCoy coming in from the left side came right to the goalpost, and Joe Milton hitting for a 16-yard touchdown.
Again, that was 12 plays. Big hitter in that one is a 15-yard reception by Princeton Fant to help move the chains there. Tennessee goes on to score another touchdown. This comes at the 9:03 mark of the second quarter, where Tennessee goes up 14-0 over Clemson. Jabari Small, a 2-yard plunge, capping a 5-play, 75-yard drive, taking 1 minute and 12 seconds off the clock. Jabari Small finds the end zone for the 13th time on the ground this season. Here's how it sounded on the Vol Radio Network.
Here's Milton, first and goal at the 2. Hand off Jabari Small. He powers into the end zone for a Tennessee touchdown. Joe Milton sets it up on that bomb to Squirrel White. And then Jabari Small caps it off with a short touchdown run. And Tennessee leads by a score of 13-0.
Again, that one was a 5-play drive. Big hitter on that one. A 13-yard reception from Joe McCoy. Joe Milton to Brew McCoy that helped move those chains along and then ultimately set up that scoring play. Now, here's where Clemson continued to, you know, put pressure on. Clemson, you know, moved the ball the entire game. They moved the ball, but there were some missed field goals there. BT Potter, who actually broke the record for most field goals made in Clemson history on Friday night. That's kind of overshadowed because he had such a rough night. He missed two consecutive field goals. So Potter misses a 31-yard field goal. Klubnik, he missed three field goals on the night, missed one after the second touchdown of the day for Tennessee. And then Klubnik, just such a horrible freshman mistake. As time is running out, you're within the 10-yard line, and it's about to be halftime. And on third down with no timeouts, he takes off running. Tennessee tackles him short of the end zone, and the clock runs out. Just a horrible, horrible freshman mistake. So Tennessee scores on the Jabari Small touchdown. They survive a missed field goal from BT Potter. They make the goal line stand, if you will, as time runs out in the first half. Coming out in the second half, Potter misses another field goal there. And actually, Potter makes this field goal, excuse me. So the two I just referenced, he actually made those. Sorry, my notes are a little wrong here. Potter actually made that 31-yard field goal in the second quarter, and then they were trying to score again right before the half. That's when Clemson's tackled. They come out. Clemson kicks a 40-yard field goal there to begin the third quarter. That makes it 14-6, okay? And that's where we stand right now. 14-6. Clemson is moving again, and this is where Tennessee has a big fourth down stop in the third quarter. Fourth and two. Vols defense comes up big, stopping Will Shipley. It was a great play by Aaron Beasley, and Juwan Mitchell actually showed up on that play as well, making that stop again on Tennessee's side of the football. Now Tennessee gets to work. Tennessee finds the end zone again. This time it is squirrel wide, a 14-yard reception from Joe Milton in the back of the end zone. It caps a four-play 70-yard drive, taking a minute 22 off the clock. It goes from 14-6 to 21-6, and here's how it sounds on the Vol Radio Network.
Milton waits for the snap from the 14. Milton, play fake. Looks. Fires
yes.
into the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee. Squirrel White. White. He got open in the back of the end zone. Joe Milton had time to find him, and he threw a 14-yard strike, his second touchdown of the night. And Tennessee with a huge score here at the end of the third quarter. Builds the lead over Clemson to 20-6. Another great throw by Joe Milton.
Joe Milton made a lot of impressive throws on the night. That one was my favorite, though, because if you watch the replay, he's sitting back there in the pocket. First of all, Darnell Wright blocks the man inside, then comes back across to get a blitzing guy off the edge and gets just a hand on him to send him up the field. What a play there by Darnell Wright. Joe Milton standing in the pocket here. He steps up one step. He's got a guy coming around from the left side. He pump fakes, and then he throws just an absolute laser shot. Just a laser shot, okay, to the back of the end zone, and Squirrel White comes in there. I thought that was the best throw of the night. That's up for debate, of course, because there's going to be one here we hear from in a moment. But that was my favorite play from Joe Milton all night, and Tennessee at that point led 21-6. Now, Klubnik finds the end zone, scores the only touchdown for Clemson in this football game, and we're going to hear it because this does bring it to a one possession score here at 21-14. I'll tell you why they got 14 in a moment. Here's the only touchdown. Here's how it sounded. It was Cade Klubnik taking off, calling his own number, and Clemson was on the board, or Clemson found the end zone for the first and only time in this Orange Bowl.
Klubnik out of the shotgun. Klubnik. Gonna keep it. Come around the left side and dances in for a Clemson touchdown. The Tigers finally get a score after knocking on the door all night long.
Now, after Klubnik found the end zone, Kamal Haddon doing Kamal Haddon things, which is really frustrating, has an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Instead of 15 yards, it moves half the distance to the goal. And instead of kicking a PAT, Clemson says, well, hey, let's just go for two. They get the two-point conversion. They make it 21-14. So on the day, there's two made field goals. There's a touchdown and a two-point conversion. That's how Clemson has his 14 points. And, of course, that's all the points they will have on the day. But it was 21-14 just inside the fourth quarter. 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It is a seven-point game at 21-14. And then Tennessee scores 10 unanswered and cruises to this win. The next touchdown, it might be the most beautiful pass Joe Milton threw on the day. To me, it's not my favorite because, of course, that was a squirrel wide. But a gorgeous throw to Ramel Keaton, 46 yards down the near sideline. Caps a six-play, 75-yard drive. Took only a minute 27 off the clock. What a response by Tennessee less than 2 minutes later after Klubnik finds the end zone to score again, making it a two-possession football game. Here's how it sounded. Bob Kessling on the Vol Radio Network.
Now to the Clemson 46. Milton steps
got
up
him.
In, flips it long downfield, wide open Keaton. Touchdown, Tennessee! Joe Milton made it look easy. He just flipped that ball downfield 46 yards to a wide open Ramel Keaton, and Tennessee answers with a big touchdown here in the fourth quarter to go up on Clemson 27-14.
You got to give Ramel Keaton a ton of credit here. He actually tweeted out the video, a little hashtag humble brag on Sunday. You go in there and he puts the double move on the quarterback from Clemson,
just a beautiful double move, and that's how he got so wide open. And that pass from Joe Milton, it was perfect, and it literally just looked so effortlessly, if that's a word, effortlessly, effortless. I don't know. We'll talk about it later. He just slung it, right? And it looked like a touch pass. It really just looked like a touch pass. What a deep ball there from Joe Milton to Ramel Keaton, and that made the score 28-14. And then Tennessee tacks on a field goal with just under 4 minutes left to make it 31-14. So that's how it sounded on the Ball Radio Network. You had Bob Kessling, play-by-play man, of course, Pat Ryan, the color, and I appreciate the Ball Radio Network for allowing me to use that audio. All right, Tennessee 31-14, a winner over Clemson. What about those stats? How do those stats look? And those Kaner grades, what did I, Eric Kane, grade each and every single position? That is coming up next, right here on Locked On Vols. Bet Online, proud sponsor of the show, your number one source, all your sports wedding or force betting information, news and stats, analysis, all that and more. Tennessee entered this game as 6.5-point dogs, according to Bet Online. Tennessee took care of business. Of course, I said all last week, go the under. Hey, I just felt good about it. Two backup quarterbacks, easy under at 63.5. You saw all those odds, those lines, those individual quarter and half betting props, all that at betonline.net. They have all the trends for every professional league and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball to the World Cup. They've got it all at betonline.net. The fastest and easiest way to bring you all your sports betting information. You can head on over to the website today or check it out on your mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. That's at BetOnline. It is where the game starts. We got a final segment left here on this Monday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane, your host. So glad that you guys are here with me here today. Appreciate it as always. And don't forget Twitter Tuesday. That's coming up. Mailbag on tomorrow's show. Get me in those questions, those comments, whatever you got. Recruiting, football, basketball, baseball, whatever you got. At underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. All right, so let's take a look at the stat sheet. Again, Tennessee, you know, gave a whole lot up defensively. I mean, truly did, but it did not break. It bent, it didn't break. Clemson, first downs, 34. First downs for Tennessee, just 20. Rushing yards, Clemson, 164. Tennessee, 124. Passing yards, Clemson, 320. Tennessee, 251. Total offensive yards, Clemson had over 100 more yards of offense than Tennessee, 484 to Tennessee's 375. But Tennessee, no turnovers. Clemson, 2 turnovers in this football game. Clemson possessed the football for a whole lot more than Tennessee, but that's nothing new in this offense. 36 minutes and 23 seconds to 23 minutes and 37 seconds for Tennessee. On third downs, Tennessee was very good defensively on third downs. Earlier in the game, it was much better. I mean, again, it's the final stat. Clemson converted on 7 of 19 third downs. It's still really good for Tennessee's defense. It was even better earlier in the football game. Tennessee, though, not good on third downs either. It converted on only 3 of 13 opportunities. But Tennessee in the red zone, 4 chances, 4 scores. 3 of those are touchdowns. Clemson in the red zone, 4 chances, 2 scores, 1 touchdown, and 1 field goal. Tennessee, defensively, it gave up a lot through the air to Cade Klubnik, the freshman. He threw 320 yards, but his completion percentage was in the 50s because he only completed 30 of 54 and he had 2 turnovers. He was sacked 4 times. Tennessee's defense did have 4 sacks. Tennessee's offense gave up 4 sacks as well. Will Shipley, for the most part, I thought Tennessee handled that the right way. Tennessee gave up 72 yards to Will Shipley, the running back from Clemson, but he only averaged 4.2 yards per carry. I thought overall Tennessee did a great job in the first half, especially. I think Shipley had like 3 carries for only 5 yards. He got going a little bit in the second half, but overall Tennessee did well there. Joseph Nagata, I believe is how you say his name. He had a really good day receiving for Clemson. He had 8 receptions, 84 yards. But again, credit Tennessee's defense. Gave up an awful lot, but didn't break. Tennessee's offense, Joe Milton, 19 of 28, 251 yards, no interceptions, 3 touchdowns, completed 68% of his passes. He was sacked 4 times, though not all of those are going to be on the offensive line. More on that in a moment. Tennessee running in this football game, it wasn't great. And again, I credit Clemson's front 7, which I think is NFL front 7. It's really good. Jalen Wright led the team in rushes, or led the team in yards on the ground, 89 yards. He had a long of 42, though, if you remember. And that long of 42 set up one of those touchdowns. I can't really remember which one. It set up the Squirrel White touchdown. Jabari Small had 38 yards on 13 carries and a touchdown. He scored for the 13th time this season on the ground. That is hard to believe. And then Joe Milton actually carried it 11 times. He only had 5 yards because he lost a ton in sacks in this football game. Squirrel White, talk about stepping up. 10 targets, 9 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. I'll tell you what right now, okay? The slot position in this offense is going to get theirs. Bayless Jones last year, 62 catches, 7 touchdowns. Jalin Hyatt this year, 67 catches, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns. Squirrel White last night, 9 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. Or Friday night. Squirrel White played great. He stepped up, and I think he's going to be a player for Tennessee, of course, in the slot next year. But what I like about this as well from Joe Milton's stat line, he spread the wealth around. 1 touchdown to Squirrel White. Ramel Keaton, 4 receptions, 76 yards, long of 46, and a touchdown. Brew McCoy, 4 receptions, 48 yards, and a touchdown. I love the fact that Joe was looking around the field, spreading the wealth and getting everybody involved. Princeton Fant had 20 yards on 2 receptions as well from the tight end position. So you look at all that, and of course I went over defensively. Aaron Beasley and Solon Page, 12 and 10 tackles respectively. Beasley, phenomenal. 4 TFLs, 2 sacks, 12 tackles, game of his life. Solon Page, 10 tackles. You had 2 sacks from Byron Young, who played really, really well in this football game. And I just thought overall the front four just gone after Kay Klubnik. They did a really, really good job of making things difficult. So those are some of the notable stats. We'll get into the Pro Football Focus grades probably Wednesday for the last time, obviously, because there's no more football games. But we'll break down who did what in coverage and individual blocking schemes and matchups and all that. And that'll come up probably on Wednesday. But just overall, those are the stats you need to know. And then here are my grades, taken for what it's worth. The Kaner grade book. I'm pretty lenient, I feel like, most of the time. Quarterback's going to get an A. Joe Milton, was he perfect? No, he wasn't. He missed some. There was a lot of punts in this football game. But at the end of the day, you look down like I did Friday night in the fourth quarter, I'm like, 251 yards, 3 touchdowns in the Orange Bowl. How about that from Joe Milton? Quarterback grade for Tennessee, Joe Milton gets an A, according to your boy, Eric Kane. Running backs are going to get a C here. And again, it was tough sledding. I mean, that front seven was pretty good. It was difficult to get anything going on the ground. I thought Jalin Wright ran hard. Of course, he had the 42-yarder that he got away. He had a couple other tough runs. I liked what I saw from Jalin Wright. I still think he needs to be more of a focal point in this offense. Jabari Small, 13 carries, 38 yards, not a whole lot there. And those were the only 2 backs that played in this football game. So there was a couple of sacks. I think one was given up by a missed block by the running back. But overall, they did an okay job. They're going to get a C for me there. Tight ends are going to get an A. Of course, they do so much in this offense. Not a whole lot receiving or stat base for both Jacob Warren and Princeton Fant this game. But they played their role and they played it well. They get an A. Wide receivers get an A because of the spreading of the wealth and getting open. Brew McCoy, contested catch in the back of the end zone. Squirrel White, contested catch in the back of the end zone. Ramel Keaton, double move, getting open. And Ramel Keaton on that same drive, mind you, when he had that 46-yard reception, he had a massive 4th down, 13-yard reception to move the sticks. It was 4th and 6, and Ramel Keaton went over the middle and hauled in a 13-yard reception. So Ramel Keaton had a really good day. So the wide receiver is going to get an A. And then the offensive line, I'm going to give a C. You had over 400, what was it, the total yards of offense? Was it 428? 430, something like that. Let's see here. 375 yards total offense. So your average was down, of course, but you won the football game. That's okay. You give up 4 sacks, not all of which were on you. Struggled to run the football. There were some guys in and out of the lineup. Javonte Spraggins went down for a little bit. Of course, Gerald Mincy went down for a little bit. So they kind of mix and match their rotation a smidge. It wasn't a horrible day for the offensive line. I've seen much better, so I'll give the offensive line a C. Let's flip it over to the defensive side of the football. Defensive line gets an A. Byron Young played well, of course, 2 sacks, but I thought Tyler Barron flashed. He had a big-time tackle right there before the half on Kay Klubnik. I thought Amari Thomas flashed a little bit. I thought Roman Harrison was all over the place. They had that rotation. Bryson Eason got the start defensive tackle, but they were so deep in this football game that Amari Mitchell even played a whole lot in this game. So defensive line, they made things difficult to run, and they made things difficult for Kay Klubnik, applying pressure the whole night. And so the defensive line is going to get an A. Linebackers get an A. I mean, again, I've talked enough about Solon Page. I've talked enough about Aaron Beasley. Those 2 guys stepped up. Aaron Beasley, the game of his life. Same thing for Solon Page, too, in his final game of his Tennessee career. Good for him. Getting the start for Juwan Mitchell. Juwan Mitchell didn't do much, but when he got in there, he did contribute on that 4th down stop. He played 48 snaps. Not trying to say he didn't play a lot, but he didn't flash. Aaron Beasley jumped off the tape more than anybody in this football game. In my opinion, Aaron Beasley, of course, you guys know me. I love that defense. In my opinion, Aaron Beasley should have been the game's MVP, but I do recognize quarterback, 3 touchdowns. I get all that. So Joe Milton, very deserving there. Linebackers to get an A. Defensive backs, again, we'll break more down on the coverages and all that on Wednesday's show, but I'll give the defensive backs a C. On the first series of the game, DeNico Slaughter gave up a huge reception on third down, a long reception. He was later flagged for not turning his head back around and making a play on the ball. After those plays, man, of course, he had a hit stick. We had another hit stick that was massive. But he also he played a couple of deep balls really, really well. DeNico Slaughter's a player. I hope he stays at cornerback. He can play star. He can play safety. But he does things at the cornerback position that nobody else on Tennessee's team can, or at least that I've seen. Brent Hubbs said this a couple of days ago that, you know, Tennessee missed the physicality from Alante Taylor playing corner. Well, you've got that with Alante Taylor, you've got that with DeNico Slaughter for sure. But, man, McCullough struggled. Wesley Walker, he misplayed. He was in position a couple of times to make some big plays and had a couple pass defenses and all that, but he was getting the start of safety for Trayvon Flowers. Tamir McDonald had a pick. Wesley Walker did have a pick. Kamal Haddon didn't do much. He did have 9 tackles. Kamal Haddon actually flashed, made a couple big-time tackles in this game. Defensive back, I'll give a C. Gave up a lot, but did not break. Did not break. You just need to get some improvement from that group overall moving into 2023. But it wasn't horrible. Wasn't horrible in the Orange Bowl. Special teams, I'll give a B. Paxton Brooks had a couple punts down inside the 21 at the 6-yard line, which is good. But again, like we've been seeing all year, like he just doesn't have that booming kick. The average for him was 39.6. That is just not very good. I know that's situational too, but nonetheless, Chase McGrath did kick his lone field goal attempt. That looked good, so special teams will get a B. And then coaches, you get an A. You're without your offensive coordinator, Alex Golish. And you're trying to dial up the perfect game plan for Cade Klubnik on the other side. Tim Banks was aggressive. He stayed aggressive. Full throttle. I loved it. And so coaches get an A in this football game. Tennessee won the Orange Bowl, won a New Year's Six bowl game. How about that? 31-14 over Clemson, and they look good doing it. We'll continue to talk about this one. We'll take your questions on tomorrow's show. We'll dive into the Pro Football Focus grades on Wednesday, and we'll have a plenty of offseason conversation for Tennessee as now the 2022 season is completely closed. Tennessee at 11-2. First 11-win season since 2001. First New Year's Six Bowl win. The true New Year's Six Bowl win since, of course, the championship. But, of course, they played against Nebraska the year before that as well. Tennessee looked good. What a season. It was a whole lot of fun. We'll talk about it more on the show tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols. Check out Locked On Sports today. Make that your second listen each and every day. Biggest takes of sports stories and recaps and all that and more. That's Locked On Sports today. Make that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols. Guys, I appreciate it. Thank you so much as always. Twitter Tuesday is coming up tomorrow. Those questions, those comments @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. Same time, same place. We'll do it again tomorrow. This is Locked On Vols.